This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, it's Freestyle Friday, everybody, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 11th, episode 1317, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
Happy Friday, everybody. And we bring you the holiday hits that Jamie so loves, this one.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
And another Jennings favorite.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
I hate you so much.
Only a hippopotamus will do.
And you can't stop it.
Don't want a diamond.
And who could forget Jamie's all-time favorite Christmas song?
Oh, no.
Hey, jingity jing. It's Dominic the donkey. Jingity jing. The Italian Christmas donkey.
Happy weekend, everybody.
La 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 la. La 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 la.
Oh my God! He doesn't tell me that he's going to do these things before he just does these things. Just because it has bells in it does not make it a Christmas song, Dominic the Donkey. God, let me just tell you something right now. I don't think I could be happier. It's Friday, Glenn. I don't care what you do to me today. It's Friday.
Oh, geez. Just had to do it. I just had to do it. It's been a tough week for you, and I lightened it up. Look, you're smiling, and you're happy. You're just so happy about the Dominic. You're probably going to go out and get a donkey.
Man, that's exactly. Yeah, if I'm going to get a donkey, it's because of that song. Yeah, sure. I got to tell you, I had one of those days yesterday. Like, I'll update you guys a little bit on the whole Norman drama. Nothing has changed, by the way, but there's a little more to the story now. But I had one of those days yesterday where, like, the kid, my two-year-old, made me crazy. Like, crazy. For some reason, some days, I can't go 3 feet away. And I don't know why. Like, mothers who have small children, do not teach your child to say mama. Don't encourage it.
I remember on the air how many months you were so disappointed that he was saying dada or whatever he says for Chad. And then you were so disappointed he never said your name. And now look.
I was an idiot. Why did nobody warn me that all I'm going to hear for like ever is mama, mama.
And he
mama.
Does have that monotone mama down pat, and he says it when we were out there. It's just mama, 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 and it's a monotone kind of repetitive mama until he gets your attention. He's just gonna keep saying it.
I'm like, I'm sitting right next to you. What? I mean, I get so mad about it. But yesterday, like the whole like trying to put him down for a nap, I don't know why he just decided he wasn't gonna sleep that day, and he cried for. I was like, I'm just going to sit in this chair and wait till you stop crying. And it was like 2 hours. And his nap is usually 2.5. So he finally fell asleep 2 hours in. Do you know what torture is? Sitting next to a crying child who's screaming and having a tantrum. So I just was like, I'm just going to take it. And I just read my phone and I read. And that kind of crap happens on the days, wait for it, that my husband, instead of going to work yesterday,
went to play golf. How did I know?
He comes home and I'm like, he comes home. I've got Thor tacked up in the cross ties. And he comes home and I go, here's your child and here's your grocery list. And I'll see you in about 2 hours.
Who slept on the couch last night?
Let me tell you, I was close because I didn't want any part, but he comes home and he sends Lucas in first and Lucas has flowers. He's like, mama, mama. I'm like, God, And then he has flowers. I'm like, oh, okay. I love you again. I love you too, husband.
Chad's
okay,
got that figured out, doesn't he? Send the kid in with the flowers.
It was super smart.
Because if he had brought the flowers in, it would have been like, what do you think? Flowers are going to change anything?
You golfed all day and that child screamed at me for 2 hours? I don't think so. But when he came home, he hadn't even got down the driveway. And I was like standing at the arena with Thor. Here's the child. Here's the list. And he's like, okay. Hope you had fun golfing. Anyway.
Good move, Chad. Right. He gets a bonus point for that one.
Okay. All right, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show? Let's get this thing over
coming
with.
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, we will go behind the scenes at Woodbine Racetrack as we do on a regular basis. And we're going to have a chat with an exercise rider named Emily. And then we're going to have a good laugh at a holiday list. And then cleaning up at the end of the show, the equitymfg.com. Really bad ass. So stay tuned for the party, folks.
All right. Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to two people. You know, just when we're having days like that, when it's tough, you know, we have to really get up to do the show because we're supposed to be entertaining, right? We're supposed to be making you chuckle and laugh and forget about your problems while we still have problems. So, and you know, this morning was one of those mornings, and then I got up and we read an email from Allison. And Allison, I'm just going to read one sentence of it. It was a long email, but it meant so much to us. And she said, I love listening to you both. And when Jen, when she speaks up, I listen whenever I'm in the car and sometimes in the evenings. And while I'm listening, I've noticed I find myself smiling. It's really awesome. And if I'm having a bad day or a down mood, Hit'em always cheers me up and keeps me motivated. And she had a very lovely email and we appreciated it so much. It was perfect timing there, Allison. And then I saw this morning as I was getting ready to do the show that Casey posted this in our private messages on Facebook and said, I just want to say that I love, 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 love this show. I'm catching up on podcasts and so far I'm in mid-November. I love Jamie. She's awesome, even if she is a vegan. And I didn't add that part. She wrote it. She wrote it. I have a Mustang as well. We Mustang owners have to stick together, right? She posted some pictures of her horses. So there you go, a fellow Mustang owner who listens to the show.
Oh, that's super nice. Thanks, you guys, for letting us know you're out there. Sometimes I tell Glenn, I feel like, you know, we're talking to each other. So it's nice to know you guys are listening.
You know, we like talking to each other, but it's much better if somebody's actually listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think our sponsors are cool.
Yeah, they like it better, too.
All right. I'm happy. It pains me to give my Daily Winnie to this organization, but I'm happy with how they have decided to handle themselves. And it goes to the Forest Service. The Forest Service here in Arizona. If you guys recall,
that's an unusual Daily Winnie.
Right? And I'm sure they're listening. On July 31st, 2015, the U.S. Forest Service published in the Arizona Capital Times a notice of unauthorized livestock and intent to impound, blah, 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 pursuant to the regulation. Da, 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 da. Basically, they were going to capture and impound all of the horses that are within the boundaries of the Mesa Ranger District, which is the Tonto National Forest. They went on, just posted this public notice in the paper, and thank God somebody saw it. But they were basically going to round up all the Salt River wild horses and dispose of them. Adopt them out or dispose of them. And for those who don't know, the Salt River wild horses were not designated as Mustangs because they were left out of the whole Mustang designation of the 1971 New Wild Horse Anything that passed. So unfortunately, they were left out. Now they're trying to get Mustang status on them now. But they were all of a sudden going to round them up. And the public outcry, it went like worldly, and it was everybody was mad. There was protest here. Arizona went crazy. Our governor and our House of Representatives, everybody like jumped on the Forest Service, like, you can't do that. Hello. And so they had to stop and they'd sort some stuff out and figure out, you know, what they could do with the horses. And as of today, in the paper published today, a public notice of rescindment of unauthorized livestock and intent to impound. And I had to Google that and figure out what that meant. And basically, it is no longer. They rescind their original idea. They remove their original idea of rounding up all the Salt River Wild Horses. So the horses will remain free. Yay! Long story short, they're free. They're going to leave them alone. Yay!
Well, I know. And earlier in the week, we had the story about your legislature, your state legislature, wanting to pass a bill protecting them anyway. So I still hope they go through with that.
Yeah.
So that the Forest Service can't change their mind in 2 weeks.
I mean, it's not like there's this huge overpopulation of horses.
It was 100
I mean,
and some, wasn't it? A million acres? Yeah.
Like the Tonto National Forest goes all the way up to the Grand Canyon from Phoenix. And if you drive there, that's almost 6 hours.
Yeah, so it takes a long time. It takes a long time.
Yeah, it's like going from Miami to Jacksonville. Not quite that far, but anyway, it's a very large forest, and so these horses are not causing big problems or anything. And so the good news is they're going to be free. I'm sure at some point we'll have to fight this fight again, but for right now, hopefully, they're leaving them alone. It's a Christmas miracle.
Well, good. Glad to hear that. You know, I had a story, too, here. Do you remember, we played it on the show, and I couldn't find it to play it again quickly this morning before the show started, but do you remember the Ohio racetrack mix-up where they were running a race that was for all fillies, and the winner came in at 110-1 long shot, and they found out the winner was a boy?
It was a gelding.
Yes. Do you remember that story?
Yes, I did that story. It was crazy.
Well, the filly's name was Ruby Queen. It never had won a race until she appeared to blow past the field, and then they discovered it wasn't Ruby Queen. Well, an investigation found that the stable worker went into the wrong stall on November 4th and brought out a male horse named Leathers Slappin', instead of Ruby Queen, who was in the neighboring stall. So the stable worker screwed up, right? Because they're all brown. So a track employee known as the identifier, we've never talked to an identifier before, then failed to properly check the horse and, obviously didn't look under.
They're supposed to look at the tattoos.
But, all of us that have looked at horse tattoos know that some of them you can read and some you can't. I mean, they're just tough, some of them. But anyway, he wasn't doing his job. He was probably, just sipping his coffee and not paying attention. And then, so they say that mix-up is not unheard of, but in this case, the $2 wager on Ruby Queen paid $220 because it was 110-1. Did you know you could go to 110? I know we've had this discussion before. We got to figure out how that happens. Anybody who did win got to keep their money, while those who placed bets on the next three finishers, in other words, if they didn't cash their ticket right away, they canceled the race, or, because they nullified the race because it was not the right horse. There were three people they determined that were involved and have all now been suspended. So unfortunately, these three people who made mistakes are paying for it.
Well, unfortunately or fortunately, but you know what? That's just a reminder. Ladies and gentlemen, if you win a super big long shot, run. Run to the window and cash that ticket. Otherwise, I'm like, honestly, who bet on the 110-1?
There was one guy who won $220.
Yeah, it was like one guy.
It had to be only one guy. The steward suspended the identifier 60 days and fined him $500. The stable worker was suspended 30 days and fined $500. The horse's owner, I guess it was the owner of the wrong horse, was suspended 30 days and fined $500, and a substitute trainer was fined $200. So I think they fined everybody they could find to find that had anything to do with this situation. So
and all those fines paid the win ticket.
Exactly. Well, speaking of racetracks, we know one that doesn't mix up like that, don't we?
Oh, gosh, they would never make a mistake like that. Wrong horse running in the race. And one of the people who would make sure of that is Emily Fisher. She is an exercise rider at Woodbine. And we say good morning to Emily. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I was wondering, honey, are you taking the day off? I mean, shouldn't you be riding right now?
Yeah, I actually have school.
Oh, I got you. You're getting an education too. That's probably a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Now, I was also an exercise rider, and I'm going to live vicariously through you because it was such an exciting and fun job. Do you love it?
I do. I took a little break in September going to school. But yeah, you know, it's one of those jobs that it just gives you the privilege to be able to travel and experience all different kinds of things, and it's amazing.
Now, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I started working at Woodbine when I was 15. I started as a hot walker, slowly moved to a groom, and then I eventually got my exercise license. I've been riding horses since I was 10, but hunter jumpers. So galloping was a whole other world. But yeah, so I started at Woodbine. I was able to get a job with Reed Baker, and that was an amazing experience. I traveled for 2 years down to Florida with him and got to experience palmettos and going down to Gulf Stream and all that fun stuff. So that was a really great experience. Yeah, and I worked a little bit with Paula Tard and got to go to Keeneland there. And I spent this summer working actually at Saratoga Racetrack.
Oh my gosh, how exciting. Yeah. That is so cool. Now, what gave you the drive? What interests you in the racing world initially at 15?
I love horses. I love animals in general. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just, it's crazy. And a lot of people in the horse industry have a very backwards understanding of it. Right. And when you actually are in the backside and you see how everything works, it's like people don't know. They just don't know.
So you started as a hot walker. You went on the backside and you said, hey, somebody give me a job? Or how did you initially get into working at the track?
I had a friend that I rode with at the barn, like in the hunter jumper world. And she was working at the track. So she got me in there and got me a job. So because I was 13, I was obviously still in school. So I'd go on weekends and I spent my summers there. Yeah.
Wow. Very cool. And so you go from hot walker to, did you have somebody, like when I was an exercise rider, I had a former jockey who is now exercise riding. I think he just got a little too fat. He kind of took me under his wing and taught me how to, because I was an event rider and a hunter jumper rider as well. And I was 19, and he kind of, like, the trainer was like, I was hot walking too. And he was like, why don't you get up and ride? And I was like, okay, let's ride. And so this, I was at a training center at that point, and he kind of took me under his wing and showed me how to bridge my reins and how to do different things. And also taught me the important, the longer you ride stirrups wise, you know? So did you have somebody kind of shape you like that?
I had multiple people, help me along the way. The trainer that originally got me my license, he was very, you're going to shed row until you can learn kind of thing. And I stayed in the barn and I went around and around and around for a very long time. And then another trainer was like, well, like, here, I'll give you some horses. Like, you can start, because Woodbine has like lots of different training surfaces. So they have the main track, they have the training track, they have something called a field, which is just like in trees. It's really good for like horses that get stressed out going to the track. And they have a sand ring, which is just like a little ring that you can just go out and jog in. So I start going out in the sand ring in the field, and then slowly went to the training track. And another trainer in the same barn was like, here, like, I need you to get on a horse. So I was like, okay, at this point, you know, I was like 17, 18. I was like, I'll do anything. I don't care. It's riding. Yeah. And I got up on the horse and I went out to the main track, and everybody's like, what are you doing out here? And I was like, I'm riding. Let me go.
Like, what up? So, I'm riding.
It was just kind of like, I was very lucky with the people that I butted when I started riding. And as the season came to an end, I was like, okay, so I went to Florida for 2 weeks and I was able to gallop at Gulfstream and that was amazing. And then I came home and I worked at Ian Black's layoff farm. And then in the spring, I ended up getting a job with Reed. And from there, they helped me a lot. The assistant trainers, the gallop people, they just, you never stop learning galloping. That's what I find. Like, even to this day, I could get on a horse and somebody would be like, oh, if you try this, it might help. And you never stop learning in this industry.
Well, it's horses in general, I think. But I think my first experience was, here you go, get on this horse and just stay off the rail.
Yeah.
Right? You had a little bit of help kind of getting started, which is fantastic. Do you have the dream of being a jockey?
Oh, gosh, no. I'm way too big.
I'm with you, girl.
And I like food way too much. No, I when I was in Saratoga summer, I was actually just ponying, which was great because it's a little bit less pressure.
That's a good job too. And that's kind of a natural way that an exercise rider can go, is go from riding the horses to riding the ponies. And now, of course, explain to everybody what that means.
Pony rider is just, it's like a normally older, calmer horse that can help the younger ones. They lead them around when they're stressed or can't handle it. Just kind of make sure that people get back and forth very safely. And I just kind of babysat a lot of the younger horses, which was good.
I got a question for you guys that have done ponying. Does your leg get bit all the time?
It can.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I think I bought knee pads halfway through the summer just to protect myself.
And enter the world of chinks, Glenn. That is why
you wear that's
chinks.
Why they all wear them, huh? Because it has nothing to do with comfort in the saddle.
Exactly.
No, exactly.
Yeah, there are different jobs that you can do at a racetrack being on a horse where you're not galloping, because another exciting job could be an outrider. Have you ever considered doing that? That seems fun.
Outriding, that seems really intense. All respect to the people that do it. I tried to catch a couple loose ones in the summer. It didn't go very well. it's timing and knowing your horse. And if you've got a good horse, you could definitely. I all the respect to those people, because I don't know if I could do it. I would love to try, but
Emily, some are better than others. And I've told this story before, but I was at, Keeneland and I was on the main track. I was on the training track down below, and the outrider was sitting on his cell phone. And of course at that time, cell phones were about as big as a shoe. So he's like sitting there on this phone with this antenna, like way up in the air. And it's my first big horse, my first racehorse. I'd ridden the 2-year-olds up until then, and I'm getting on this 4-year-old, and I'm supposed to jog him around, turn around, just whatever, nice easy ride. And of course this horse is way too strong for me, and he takes off, and we're supposed to go two laps around, and we did 2 laps, but it was like, at a dead run. And as I'm galloping by, I look at the outrider who is sitting on his horse as I'm flying by, tears are streaming in my eyes. I can't see. And I see this guy just sitting there talking on his phone. And after I finally get the horse stopped, I come over to him and I'm like, what were you doing? Where were you? I needed help. And he goes, you stopped, didn't you? What do you do here?
Yeah, I guess eventually the horse is going to stop.
Yeah, stopped, didn't you?
Yeah, right. There are definitely some very good ones and some very, they should maybe not be there. But Woodbine is lucky that we have very good outriders. I'd say some of the best at Woodbine. I know the feeling, because I've been Tom Meadows. The first year I was there, their outriders were not, they had one. He's not there anymore, and it's not it's not upsetting.
Yeah. Now, when they, okay, so when you're working the horses, when you're just doing the jogs and working them in the mornings and whatever, the outriders are there. Are they just stationed at intervals? Is that the way it works?
Nope. They normally are out there all morning.
Okay.
Depending on it all, like I know, Woodbine, depending on what like time of year it is, like there's always one on the training track. And then normally like race days and stuff, like busier days, there will be two out on the main track.
Okay.
Just because more, if it's busier, then there's more chance for
problems. I assume, Emily, they're riding ex-race horses and not big fat quarter horses.
Some of them are quarter horses. Some of them are ex-race horses. Actually, Josie Carroll has one that's like it's a Frisian, actually. It's not even... He's massive. There are some that are huge, but a lot of them are ex-race horses or appendixes, because then you get the niceness of the quarter horse,
yeah,
but the quickness of the thoroughbred.
Right.
Where I was in the summer, we had one quarter horse and one thoroughbred, and the quarter horse was great because he put up with all the like, crap that the little ones gave him, but the thoroughbred was nice because he had that big stride to keep up. So It kind of depends on the preference of the person that's doing the ponying or the outriding, because, like, once again, they got to know their horse, right? So if you know your horse can go 0 to 60 in a split second to catch that loose one, then you're good. But if you need a little bit of a warm-up, then you might want something faster.
Now, we're talking with Emily Fisher, who is an exercise rider at Woodbine Racetrack. And, Emily, you've got to have a story where you got run away with.
Oh, many. one too many, actually. I was on a horse not long ago, maybe about a year ago, just a little over a year ago. And I knew this horse was one to run off. And he was coming back after being laid off for a little while. And the guy that normally gets on him was like, oh, like, don't worry. Like, he doesn't even grab the bit anymore. Like, he's fat and out of shape. And I was like, okay. So literally probably we made it halfway around and this horse just jumped on the bit and he was gone. And I was like, this is it. I'm done. This is the end for me. And I like looked at the assistant trainer who was sitting on the pony, and I'm like looking at him and he just looks at me like, okay. And I'm like, are you not going to help me? Like, I'm going way too fast here.
It's like the outriders.
I know how you feel.
Oh my gosh. We did the exact same thing. Yeah. You're like somebody, and then you're just watching you thunder by. They're right? Like, there she goes.
Right? Yeah. I'm like, hello. Like, I'm obviously struggling. You can see me here. And I was like, I was almost done. And I was like, I have to stop this horse. If not, we're going around again. At this point, like you said, I'm crying and I'm like, hey, I'm either going to jump off, run through the rail, or we're going to go around again, one of the two. So I just pulled as hard as I could, and I ended up stopping, and I was, like, out of breath and crying. And I was like, really? Never again. I didn't want to take it back home. I just wanted to get off. I was like, I'm tired.
Yeah,
of course, it was my last one of the morning too, so it's like my seventh one or something, and I was like, I'm done. Like, I.
Do you think they're all done. Sitting taking bets on how long you can go before you cry as an exercise
yes.
rider? You think
yes,
they have a board?
Probably.
They have a board where they're doing over and unders. We can get her this morning. I'll bet $5.
Probably. Yeah.
I doubt that male exercise riders cry. I just have you ever seen a male exercise rider cry? I think they just do this crap to girls.
I feel like maybe if they were yelled at enough, if they're getting shit, not. I haven't seen too many get run off with like that. but there's so many like gadgets now that you can put on a horse to make them stop.
Hey, Wendy, Emily, I got a question for you from Wendy, who's listening in, and she says, "How come racehorses don't buck?" And I think they do buck, I think they buck less because they have a big open track. They can just run away with you. It's much more fun.
But the really talented ones, Glenn, can run and buck.
It's true. Last summer, I went headfirst into the poly track at Woodbine, being bucked off. The problem with it is, if you can get them going fast enough, then they won't coordinate themselves. Mm-hmm. But if they're going slow enough and they start bucking and picking up space, picking up speed, you're not staying on. Yeah. That's the problem. So, like, yeah, I used to have one actually. He ran in the Queen's Plate a couple years ago. His name was River Rush. We had a love-hate relationship because he would run when I rode him. But man, I hated that horse because if he got his head down, he would just start bucking and romping. So I couldn't let him get his head down. And it was always one of those fights that it always happened. And it was always a fight. But for some reason, he ran while I rode him. So I got stuck with him.
Wendy just said, oh, my God, these girls are crazy. So.
Yeah, but there's nothing that, like, do you remember the first time you breezed a horse, Emily?
Yeah, I do. And I'm tall. I'm almost 6 foot. So I'm tall. And I was working horses for Reed. And he'd be like, geez, you're like a sailboat. Like, get down. And I'm like, I'm almost 6 foot. Like, I can't get much lower. Like, I was trying, but you had me working with jockeys. And I'm like, I can't get down like that. So it was funny, but I love working horses. I like to go fast. So,
yeah. Yeah, that first time you feel that first breeze, like, you don't even realize that a horse has that gear. And it's just something a racehorse has on a track that it takes your breath away when they you're galloping along and then you hit that pole where you're supposed to let them go. And oh my God, the feeling.
I love it. If I could just only work horses, I would. It's an amazing feeling to just feel them kick into gear. Or even when you start off slow and you turn for the wire and ask for that little bit more and they just kick right on, and it's incredible.
Yeah, you realize.
There's no feeling like it.
No feeling, and you realize how much they love their job. I mean, my gosh, they just, they're born to run and they're bred to run and they want to run. I mean, horses run away with you at the track. They want to go faster. Like, the hardest part of being an exercise rider is going slow because these horses just want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the first horses that I worked by myself, we got a bunch of like late 3-year-olds one winter, and we were just kind of like, just let them do, don't ask for anything. Just let them do it. So I, of course, I had to work like the worst horse in the barn, who liked to be naughty and jump around and little colt. So I was like, oh, okay, well, first of all, I'm going to die if I even make it there. And I worked this horse and I was like, I didn't make time. He went so slow, and like he worked in like 37 or something, which is perfect. You couldn't even ask for a better time. And I was like, if he can do that and I feel like we're going slow, and what's it going to feel like when he goes fast? Because that's going to be incredible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did that horse go on to have a successful career?
I'm not sure where he ended up, to be honest, but he was a very talented horse. So I imagine he probably did something.
He's now a jumper.
I'm not sure where he went.
Do you remember his name? Do you remember his name?
His name was Charlie Allnut, which was an odd name.
Charlie
Allman?
Allnut.
All.
Yep.
Nut.
I'm not sure what he did.
That's funny. Are you still jumping, Emily?
Yes, I have two of my own, actually.
Good.
We're little monsters.
Well, Emily, thank you so much for stopping by. This has been fun. I know Jamie was so excited to talk to you. Two exercise riders chatting. It was fun to listen to, too. You be careful up there, and good luck in college and with
thank
everything
you.
That you're doing. And one of these days, you will have that full-time job with horses. I there's no question in my mind.
Hopefully. We'll see.
So good luck. It's woodbineentertainment.com, our behind-the-scenes series. First time we've had an exercise rider from there. So thanks a bunch, Emily, and Merry Christmas.
No problem. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Well, that was fun listening to you two talk. It was
oh my
fun.
Gosh. My blood is boiling. I need to go sit on a horse really fast right now.
Well, let's take a break for a love story, and then we're going to come back. We have some news for you. We have some lists for you. We're going to get an update on Norman, and then second to last, really bad ads of 2000.
Charlie Allnut, by the way, is a son of Big Brown. I'm still looking up his race records.
All right, let us know.
They had been together for years, since he was just a colt. When he got stubborn, she would gently coax him on. When he got scared, she would reassure him and stroke him gently on the neck. She spent hours building his confidence, his strength, his balance, teaching him to dance. Pirouette, passage, piaf, the final salute. The crowd jumped to its feet and cheered. It was the moment they had spent a lifetime training for. But all she could think about was how special he was and how she loved him. This love story is brought to you by Endure Extra, providing high-fat calories, direct-fed microbials, and natural vitamin E to support optimal condition and performance. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
And we want to thank KPP for their continuing support after 8 years here on Horses, or on Horse Radio Network, and almost 6 years on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate them being here.
How long have we been doing this show?
2010. We've been doing since
over 5 years.
Over five, yeah. We're in our sixth year. That's right.
That's insane.
So all you people who just started with us and are liking the show and are trying to get through the back catalog,
don't do it.
Yeah, you got about another 3 years. You might get caught up.
Don't. I noticed too that you posted on the auditor's page that we are going to, you know, obviously as usual, we take a break after Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's, and so we put up some older episodes. And you asked the auditors what episodes they wanted to hear, and one of these persons, I don't know who you are, but I am mad at you, said, "I want you to replay the first episode ever." No. We don't need to hear that. That needs to not be there.
We did have a lot of good suggestions, and most of them revolved around Jamie's That Girl stories.
Yeah.
Basically, people wanted to hear entire episodes just made up of your That Girl stories.
All you have to do is listen to any show.
People feel much better when you're being punished and tortured and thrown to the ground and crying on the air. Apparently, yeah, that is what they love.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that, you know what? There's a reason we have this show for 5 years and we haven't run out of things to talk about, because that crap happens to me all the time.
And then there was, of course, Ken came in with the sheath cleaning song. Really wanted the sheath cleaning song. Yeah, there were a lot of good episodes, or good suggestions there. And Jennifer looked at this, and she is putting the best stuffs together, and she is taking your suggestions. So there will be some things coming up.
Great.
And Jennifer, we're gonna drop you and pick you up back on Skype here.
All right.
Well, we're doing that. Do you want to do some news stories, a list? What, or do you want to talk about Norman a little bit?
Yeah, I just had a little bit of an update. I mean, nothing has changed, but my vet called me. What's today? Friday. She called me Wednesday after the show and just said, "Hey, I'm doing some research, but there is a chance that, you know, the horses can have a bunch of different abnormalities in the heart, the arrhythmias, but apparently there's like one kind of arrhythmia that can be fixed." She's like, "I don't know. I've got to call into the vet." And I'm like, "Oh my God." Like, I've already like decided, you know, so I'm like, I need to find out more. So Chad, I was supposed to take Norman back yesterday. But I'm like, I can't, we got to find out what this means. So she called me last night, and of course, for those who don't know, Norman was diagnosed. He passed out on Saturday while I was doing join up with him, and passed out. And he's 17 too. It's a big boy. I didn't know what happened. Turns out he has a massive heart arrhythmia, and his heart rate can only get so high. And so anyway, and then he passes out, and obviously he's unsuitable for riding at all. So she got on with a specialist and found out that what you have to do is an EKG, and then a heart ultrasound. And if the heart is in good condition, like there's no valve problems, and the EKG shows that he has this one out of four types of arrhythmias, then that arrhythmia can go on to be treated after the EKG and the heart ultrasound. So one out of four have this type of, I'm reading what I wrote after we talked. One out of four have this type of heart issue that responds to the treatment. So one out of like three or four horses have this treatable one. And then one out of four horses will respond to the treatment. And in 70% of those horses, the treatment is effective. 30%, it's not effective. It does nothing. Some horses, after getting the treatment to make their heart beat normally again, revert back to the original arrhythmia. And there's no time frame that could happen. It could happen 6 months, 6 days, 6 years. There's no knowing. You have to continually monitor their heart rate. In horses that the treatment reverses the arrhythmia successfully, no matter what, eventing is not recommended. The sport that I obviously purchased him for. Lower level dressage is about as stressful as a horse with the cured arrhythmia can do.
That's without how boring dressage is. It's even boring for the horses, apparently.
Yeah. If his heart rate gets up to 80 beats a minute, which is when this kicks in, this arrhythmia. So about 80 beats a minute. And she said that's about, you know.
You can get that running around the pasture.
Yeah, exactly. That trotting and she's like, basically, you know, without the treatment, working him from the ground is okay. And he's an amazing longliner now, thanks to all the Money Roberts videos. He longlines and he does join up. And working him from the ground is okay. And without treatment, walking him while being ridden is okay only if the rider knows about his issue, because at 80 beats per minute is when the arrhythmia kicks in. And at some point, the heart's just going to stop. Now, whether it stops to like what he did Saturday, which is to pass out, or whether it stops when he dies. And like she said, the fact that we caught this before he just died is crazy. That's amazing.
It's rare, actually. Yeah.
It's really rare. As she said, the most common presenting form of this is death. So the horse dies. Why did he drop dead? So the fact that we were able to catch, I mean, the fact that he passed out, you know, and I was able to go, what was that? You know, because he hurt himself when he passed out. And that's, I thought he was laying down, rolling in my saddle. Where in my saddle? Get up. Nope. Why are you bleeding? Why is your face scraped off? Oh, God, there's something wrong. So unfortunately, even with treatment, which she did tell me, because I was like, well, maybe I should try. Obviously, in the end, it's not going to make a difference. But 200 for the EKG, 500 to 600 for the heart ultrasound, and then $700 to $800 for the first set of meds. And then he has to be hospitalized on top of that to get the meds. And some of the side effects of the meds can be, you know, colic or death. So it's not awesome, but I at least have that information for his.
So basically, it's $5,000 for the first treatment by the time you're done.
Yeah, by the time you're done, you're looking at about $5,000.
For your $1,000 horse.
Well, yeah, I mean, but when you treat him like, you know, I paid $1,500 for him, but, you know,
which you would consider if you had a 90% chance of this working, not 25% or less.
Yeah, and I think that if it worked, and he could go on to have an eventing career.
And then you have a low-level walk-trot dressage horse. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Who could die in the field just running around someday.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was galloping yesterday morning, and I'm like, I could hear him from my bedroom. It was like 6 a.m., and I heard horses galloping because the pasture's right next to my bedroom. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, all I expect now is to walk out and see him laying, you know, dead in the field. So fortunately, I get to take him back to his old owner, who is a dressage rider and who has money, and maybe she will be able to do this with him. So I don't have to say goodbye. And she's like, my door is always open. You can come and visit him anytime. And, you know, the problem is he hurt his leg forever ago and he got that bone infection, this right. Tiny
really
little cut.
Had no sound time with this horse.
Yeah, well, yeah. It went to this bone infection craziness. And Chad, of course, is like, meh. That ended up not being a really big deal, didn't it? And I was like, no, that was a big deal, but we fixed it. Like, yeah. you weren't the one out there flushing an open wound twice a day or whatever, you know. And he was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. We did buy that hundreds of dollars of antibiotics that were compounded. We had to go. Remember, we had to go to the pharmacy that's in downtown Phoenix. Yes. Remember that?
Yes. Yeah.
We had to pick that up. That was for him. That was all part of that. But then once we fixed that, I've really
You had to
connected.
Buy a gun just to go to that pharmacy.
So. I know. It was crazy. But after that, I really connected with him because then I kind of just started over with him because he had these issues of anxiety. And now we know why he had all these issues, obviously, behavior-wise. But I really feel like he and I were, I just kept telling people, I'm like, he's going to be amazing. He's going to be amazing.
Jennifer really liked him too when we were
out. He could be amazing. And he's just unfortunately not going to be able to do the job and do any job really. And hopefully he'll have a nice long life.
Yeah, whatever long life he has left he'll be eating grass and hanging out.
Yeah. So exactly. So anyway, there's the update, and
you're doing the right thing by the horse, which in the end is the thing we're all supposed to do. So
yeah, and so I'm taking it back, and I'm so thankful that I have two friends, the former students, both that have now grown up and have become friends of mine, and they're going to ride with me, so I don't have to go alone to drop him off and say goodbye. So anyway, we're doing that around.
Driving home would be an issue. So.
Jamie, please do not drive past MASH on your way home.
No, yeah. Oh, just God, avoid please. That. Take the long way home. it's, take your time. You got a little bit of time now. So,
usually you sell a horse and I can't wait to get another one. I don't even want to talk about it. Yeah, I don't even. I'm so disappointed. I just, yeah. Anyway,
well, let's take a break for our song. We're going to come back. Maybe we'll do a list and then we'll get into really bad ads. And we have some news that I got to show you and the listeners, too. We'll talk about it in a minute. But Jennifer found something that involves Scooter from the past. So
awesome. That's
kind of cool. But I picked Hallelujah by Tiffany DeRosé. It's very pretty. It's a wonderful one to head into Friday with. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes, everybody.
Secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do ya? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty in the moonlight overthrew ya. She tied you to her kitchen chair. She broke your throne and cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Alone before I knew ya. your flag on the marble arch. But love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. That was Tiffany DeRose. You can find her at tiffanyderose.com. Well, we're 2 weeks away today from Christmas.
You know what? That just means you better have your shopping done, husband.
I didn't start yet. Because, I'll start, the 24th. That's when I'll start, like I always do. Why change this year? I'm 53 years old. Why would I change now? There's no hope. Oh, wait a minute. We'll get to that in a second. But, why don't we talk a little, something a little bit different? It's the holidays, and I have here the 5 biggest holiday travel myths debunked, because I know that a lot of our listeners, judging by Facebook, are going to be traveling over the holidays. Mm-hmm. So here we go. The myth is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving is the busiest travel day of the year. And haven't we heard that forever?
That's not true.
No, August 8th it was last year. Apparently, there are rough days to travel around the holidays, including the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and December 23rd is one of the busiest air travel days of the year. But the reality is, if you pick your days, there's other days in the year that are busier than the day before Thanksgiving.
Why is August 8th?
I have no idea why August 8th was last year. I don't know. I don't know what people are doing in August 8th. The myth is the hotel prices are outrageous during the holiday season. Apparently, that's not true everywhere, that large cities can be cheaper because everybody leaves the city.
If you want to stay in Minneapolis,
yes.
On Christmas Eve.
Well, that's apparently high-end hotels reduce the rates up to 50% in cities like New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, Dallas, and Boston. So you can get cheap rates when everybody else is leaving the city.
Cleveland. Yeah.
Yes.
Stay downtown in the Motel 6
yes.
In Cleveland. You
for
can get
$29.
A really good rate. Wow.
They say check social media. That's your chance. I would say check Groupon too. The myth is New Year's Eve is the most dangerous day to drive. I've always heard that. Well, apparently the several days before Christmas can be more dangerous. AAA studies have shown that December 23rd was the most dangerous day to drive for years. So apparently people leaving for Christmas and everybody, you know, getting off work and having holiday parties and drinking and all of that stuff makes it right before Christmas is the most dangerous day to drive. I think because so many people are conscientious about New Year's Eve that they stay off the, like a lot of people stay off the roads, whereas everybody's driving on the 23rd.
I don't think people are drunk driving on the 23rd, but that's like when my mom lived in Florida and I lived in Georgia, that's the day you get in the car and you go to Florida. And it was always like hours and hours you'd be stuck in traffic trying to get to Atlanta.
So you did traffic for so many years. Did you find that to be true? Like before Christmas was always the worst?
You know what the worst, I found the worst day of the entire year as a traffic reporter. I mean, granted, it was my best day because it was super fun to report. But the worst day for people driving was Halloween.
Really?
Oh my God. Halloween traffic starts at like noon. And it is gridlock. Yes. Always. I don't know why. But people just trying to get home so they can take their kids trick-or-treating. And it's like, I just look at those red lines on the freeway and just be like, oh my God, you poor thing. Your kids are like waiting on you right now. So yeah, Halloween, always the worst. In Atlanta anyway.
Huh. I didn't know that. Well, and then the last one here is that, or two more, Christmas Day is always the cheapest day to fly during the holidays, and they say not reality. The airports are quieter on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve, but there's also less flights. So it doesn't mean that you're going to be getting it any cheaper. And then the last one is the TSA will not let you travel with wrapped packages. That's the myth. And apparently that was true, and I knew it was true for a long time, but they have relaxed the rules now, and they're going to put them through the scanner, but you can apparently go with wrapped packages now. So those are the biggest myths involving
holiday. So you guys
can travel.
Fly to Phoenix with my gifts.
Oh, yeah, good, cool.
No worries.
Didn't we already do that?
You didn't wrap it, though.
You can fly out here. It's nice in Florida this time of year, too.
Yeah. That's great. Well, cool. Hey, I do have another Christmas gift that maybe you may want to get maybe your lovely wife or your... I don't know who's going to want this, actually. But the good news is that... Did you ever collect... baseball cards or anything like that?
Yeah, a little bit. But we wasted most of them on our bike spokes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's where most of them went.
You might have had a Willie Mays rookie card.
We didn't care. They just sounded cool.
Put it on your spokes or whatever. Yeah. That is showing your age, by the way.
Yeah, just with the clothespin. You remember those?
God. Grandpa, listen. The good news is that you can also put Mike Smith on your bicycle because to commemorate the 75th anniversary, the Jockeys Guild has issued a limited edition set of 152 trading cards featuring jockeys. So Mike Smith might go on my bike spokes. He's actually one of them. Yeah, the back of each card has information about the jockey, including birthday, birthplace, active riding years, a biography, lifetime statistics. It includes Hall of Fame members, George Wolf Award winners, basically any jockey throughout time who's been amazing. Riders in the top 30 all-time earnings, riders with more than 5,000 wins, and other fan favorites who've had outstanding careers. So
I wonder if Frankie has one.
Oh my gosh, check it out at jockeytalk360.com. And you can get the 152 trading cards for $20 plus $2.95 shipping and handling. So it's pretty cheap. But I had to buy baseball cards for my nephew. That's what he wanted. Actually, he wanted San Francisco Giants baseball player cards, but I was like, suck it. You're gonna have to be disappointed like the rest of us who wanted Atlanta Braves cards when we were little. And we got nothing but, you know, Dodgers or Mets. God forbid you get a Met card. That's in your bike spokes. Ha ha, Ellen. Take it. Take it, Ellen. I know you like the Mets. Anyway, so I would put, you know, you can take the jockeys that you love and the jockeys that you don't love. And you can crumple them up and throw them at your picture of Zenyatta.
You know, the ultimate, though, if you're a horse husband, the ultimate gift for your wife this Christmas would be an Ovation saddle. You know, we've talked about the Ovation boots, and we've talked about helmets and all the different things. But, you know, nothing's going to get you more points than buying a new saddle for your sweetie. You head over to OvationRiding.com. You're going to see all their saddle selections. They have a bunch of really nice saddles over there. And the other thing they have, if a saddle's not quite in your budget, they have a classic breeches like the Euroweave collection. They also have the Milano and the Sorrento collections of breeches. They have a ton of different breeches you can find over there, with the Euroweave Slim Secrets with the tummy flattening panels.
I love their motto. It can be your secret. We won't tell.
It's like Spanx breeches.
I want some of those so bad because I just, I'm like, ugh, look at my love handles. Like, gross. I need some of those.
Yeah. Spanx breeches. I don't think they call them that because I'd get sued, but we can. And the other thing is they have a bunch of stuff for kids. They have a bunch of different kinds of breeches for kids, and they're one of the very few companies that have men's and boys' breeches too. So, you know, we've been talking about Ovation. You think about them when it comes to helmets. You think about them when it comes to boots. But you also need to think about them when it comes to breeches and saddles. And you need to go over to OvationRiding.com to see the various selections that they have in all the different things. You can find them at your local tack shops. There's a tack shop where to buy link on there. So you can find them at a local tack shop. You still have time to order them through any one of the online companies at this point. Next week, this time, though, you might have to find the local tack shop to do that. OvationRiding.com is the place to go. They're a big supporter of our show, and we're a big supporter of their products. You know, one of the things we take pride in is we only advertise products that we believe in. So if we don't like the product, it doesn't become a sponsor on any of our shows. And
not me. I'll sell whatever. I don't care. Just kidding.
No, I think you're the one that has turned down a couple. You're like, this didn't work with crap. So we don't do that. We only do products that we like and use.
Wonderful.
OvationRiding.com. Well, before we get to really bad ads and into it, Jennifer's going to post this on our Facebook page. She called me over to her desk yesterday and said, you're not going to believe what I found. And it was the original Craigslist ad for Scooter.
Aww.
Yep, it was the original Craigslist ad. Now, this ad was taken a good probably six months before we picked him up, judging by his weight, because he was actually fat in this ad compared to when we picked him up. And Jennifer might be able to post both of those pictures in there. But if you look in the show notes there, Jamie, you'll see it. And
he was much skinnier when you got
him. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, half of this weight. So he must have been for sale for a good 6 months, probably. Jennifer, do you know?
When did you get him?
Yeah, when did we get him, Jennifer? Do you remember? Are you
there? The 13th of July.
Of July of 2013. And this was taken, what, 2 days ahead of that? So that picture was old.
Well, that's when I emailed it to you. The date on it is the date I emailed it to you.
Yeah, so this was old.
Yeah.
But it was a 12-2 hand Hackney, started under saddle, going good with cart, which might have been a little generous. My eight-year-old drives him and rides him. He is quiet.
He was quite starving.
He was quite. Yes, you're right. He was quite. Needs finishing and more time on him, and he was for sale for $200 of best offer. And she was willing to take payments. So,
who the hell makes payments on a $200 horse? And you don't take payments on a $200 horse because if they can't pay you $200, they can't.
Do you see the paddock he was in though?
Okay, let me describe this. First of all, it's that wire fencing. It's just a nightmare. I believe there's like bricks and like hoses and wires. There's a stake sticking out of the ground. There's some sort of...
He was probably tied to that. They had him tied to the tree when we got there.
Oh, that's nice. There's some sort of wire roll that's just sitting there on the fence. There's garbage on the ground. There's plywood and just... There's probably, I mean, it's like sand everywhere, and there's probably like 25 little shoots of grass coming up out of the sand.
And when we got there, there was nothing green. When the paddock he was in, there was nothing green at all, nothing. The bark on the trees was gone. They had eaten the bark off the trees up to about 8 feet to where they could reach. So your bark was gone. There was just nothing.
Bless his heart. Oh,
but,
God.
Yeah, Jennifer will post a picture of that. But it was just so funny that we actually found she found the original ad that she had sent to me that day.
And I love that she found it while she was looking for really bad
ads.
And
when we went, we expected to see this horse, this pony. Yeah. And it was this pony, only it was about half of this pony.
Yeah.
So it was obviously an old picture.
If you post that, do you have any of the pictures of when you actually got him home?
Yeah, post the day we got him too, Jennifer. Yeah, that'll be good.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, poor guy. Well, he's happy now. And then you should do this ad when you got him and then right now.
Right now. Fat. Ornery, sassy, and happy.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it.
With a mouth full of food.
I say, pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, that's right. It is that time of the week. We have two really bad ads left in the year of 2015. So thank you for everybody submitting to us. That means next week we're going to have somebody from Equity on. Either Joseph or his wife will be joining us, and they will be selecting the winner of the Shake and Fork. That's right. The winner of the almost $300 Shake and Fork. It's going to be a good Christmas for somebody next week. Anybody who submitted an ad this year is eligible. We'll be putting them all in a big pot, and we'll be basically drawing a number, and that person will be the winner. And you have one more week to get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. And it does not matter if your ad doesn't hit the air or not. It doesn't matter. You know, what else can we say about Equity? We've been talking about it all year long. If you haven't bought one yet, you're just being stubborn. And you really should. I got a couple emails from people, and there are no stubborn horsewomen. We all know that. So I got a couple emails from people this week that said I've asked for one for Christmas, and I would say you've got to get your orders in the next couple of days to get them out to you in time because they're shipped ground. They're in a fairly large box. It's a manure fork, but you will love this thing. You will keep it. You will keep it forever, and it won't break on you. We each at this farm now, including my landlord who lives on the property, all have our own Flex and Forks, and we all have our own so that we don't
flex
fight
and forks
over
are not meant to share.
No, you don't share them because they're yours and you get possessive. And we have a Shake and Fork here for the occasional times we do bring them in the stalls. I am not going to do it the traditional way because I'm basically lazy and this really works. So if you have to clean a lot of stalls or just a couple stalls, having a Shake and Fork around ain't a bad idea. If you want your husband to clean the stall, get a Shake and Fork because it's like a toy. It's a gadget. And they're going to be more likely to want to do it if they can use the Shake and Fork. Every time I do it, I kind of chuckle to myself because it is kind of like a gadget. And it just works. It just works. So check them out. Ask for them for Christmas. Make sure they get the orders in soon. EquityMFG.com. You will not regret it. Our prize for today is the last box of crap for the year. And I actually was looking around in my closet there in the studio here, and I got some pretty good crap. One of those things in the box I know is a baseball hat that we were given at the stables at Disney. So you're going to get a Disney hat from the stables that we got from the manager of the stables. So that's one of the things, and a bunch of other crap in the box. And Jennifer's going to get those boxes ready to go out today. So we're happy to get rid of some of that stuff and give it to you so you can put it in your closet so it becomes your crap. That's the way we roll here.
Nice.
All coming up. Well, let's do our first ad coming today from Chelsea.
All right.
Chelsea said, high school senior portraits with horses. Book your outdoors men or women's senior portraits with any of our horse models. Don't let this special opportunity pass you by as space is limited. You can only fit so many people on a horse. Choose from a sophisticated hunter-jumper model to our cowboy or cowgirl special. Do you get a
Yeah, so you can either pick the sleek looking thoroughbred or the fat quarter horse.
Oh, I thought they were talking about the guy, like a hot hunter jumper guy to go in your picture, or the cowgirl.
Choose from a sophisticated hunter jumper model, which is my gray thoroughbred that will bathe before you get here, yes, or our cowboy or cowgirl special, which is like the little plucky paint horse that's in the backyard.
We've got plucky, the right plucky. Plucky paint horse.
Oh my gosh.
That's a good description for so many paint horses, actually. We've got the right horse model for you, too. We provide quality tack and horse model with an amazing fall backdrop. Reasonable packages available. Book today.
It doesn't have this. Like, I see people this time of year that are taking pictures, school pictures with their horses and stuff. But it's not the same if it's not your horse. Like, why would you photograph yourself with somebody else's horse? Like, hey, is that your horse? No.
That is true.
You ride that horse?
That is true. No.
Do you?
Have you ever ridden the horse? No, but they're pretty.
No. I ride. I don't know this particular horse. I can't remember his name, but like, I got my picture taken with him. He's really,
yeah,
he's
kind of a faker. You're kind of a faker at that point. But you know what? They probably sold tons of these.
Maybe.
It's another one. Again, I want to call and find
let's
out.
Let's call them. Janelle sent this one in. Reg Quarter Horse Gelding. Reg Quarter Horse Gelding. He's a registered quarter horse gelding, easy to lead, but needs training on tying. Ride good, just needs work on not bucking. I wouldn't consider that ride good.
Ride's good. Ride's good when he's not bucking.
Needs work on not bucking. Healthy, but not a stout horse.
That's a good way of saying he's skinny as a rail.
Has been wormed, but will need shots. $700 or best offer, please. I can text you more information. Edit. He got on a trailer just fin. Can't say fi. He get yours.
Well, they were in a hurry for that one.
That was a quick edit. Yes. So he got on a trailer, but I can't say he'll get on yours.
Which means he's not going to.
So basically, did somebody go to buy him? He got on the trailer and they were like, never mind.
That is exactly what happened. And you know, so you get a horse that doesn't tie, he bucks, and he won't trailer. Perfect horse for $700.
I can't imagine you're going to be able to read this next ad from Shelley.
Oh, they're just everything is misspelled. Pretty much just everything is misspelled in this one. Big horse, 14 years, healthier, for sale, $500. A Blick Percherone Stallion, 19 hand, and 14 years, but very youthful and genteel horse.
No, it's a gentle.
You want to do this one because you do better at reading these where everything is misspelled. Every word.
Let me help you out.
Okay.
Percherone Stallion, 19 hand and 14 years, but youthful and genital whore.
You're right. It is a genital whore.
It's a genital whore. Ridding is okay. No health problems. Good soul-lied, steel-aid horse. Is jumper. So must have high fences. Emails to please if interested.
Let me get this right. We have a 19-hand Percherone that jumps high fences. That'd be a sight to see.
I can't even believe you were able to get that out of that ad. He's a genital whore, and he's a like big.
He's a 19-hand genital whore who jumps high fences. I got it. I perfectly understand what they're saying. How does he jump high fences?
Stallion riding is okay.
How low a fence do they have? We have never seen when we had an 18-hand Percherone, by the way, I don't believe it's 19 hands. When we had an 18-hand Percherone, it would not jump 2 feet. It's not getting over a 4-foot fence.
There's a reason they keep giraffes in an area at the zoo that the fence is 3 foot tall.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys stay here.
Wow, Shelly, that's a really bad ad. Yeah. Every word was misspelled. The only one they got right is and no. They got those two right. Anything with two letters, they got right. Yep. Everything else, no.
Yep. Very good. I'll just do the next one real quick. Sorrel, Tennessee, walking horse for sale and $300 is Montrose. I think that's in Tennessee. We got to do Tennessee because I watched Dolly Parton's Coat of Many Colors last night, and I'm telling you, I got this Southern accent thing down. And by the way, Coat of Many Colors was really good. I cried like four times. I cried four times watching that show. Jennifer Nettles makes me. Okay. Y'all, Rusty stands at 14.3 hands. He's a little hot-tempered in that he has tons and tons of energy, needs training and handling, and is a little scared of his own shadow at times. Rusty does very well with an experienced horseman or horsewoman. He's unused to being more than just a pasture mate, but with the right owner, he'll make an excellent mountain.
I'm sure.
We have had him over a year now, and he accepts the saddle, even though he didn't when we got him. And no one picks available.
He accepts the saddle. Nobody can sit in it, but he'll let you look at it.
He's hot-tempered. He has tons of energy, and he's spooky.
And we can barely get the saddle on him. All of that for $300 in Montrose.
$300 in Montrose. You just come on out and get him.
Thank you, Abby. Well read. Beth sent this one in. It's our trailer of the week. It's a goods neck horse slash cattle trailer for $1,200. It does not have lights or brakes. Here are some photos of it buried out in the woods. Okay, when it says in the ad that the trailer's buried in the woods, do we need to say anything more?
We're
done right there.
It's like a swamp creature. But like, if you're gonna load the swamp creature into a trailer, this is the trailer you want to have.
This was the alligator wrangler's trailer until he got it stuck in the swamp, and it's still sitting there.
And the wrangler died because he got eaten by an alligator.
That's right.
And then they just came across it one day.
That's right. Oh, we had that happen. You reminded me of a story. We had that happen this
Wasn't
week.
Wasn't that crazy?
Did you read that story, the burglar?
Yeah, some dude like robbed somebody's house and like jumped in a lake to hide and like got eaten by a gator.
Like
Am
a 13
right?
foot alligator ate him. Yep, that's right.
And then the sad thing is they killed the gator.
No, they killed the gator because they had to do an autopsy and they did find parts of the guy. So so that was a bad day. And you know what I found bizarre about that story? We're totally off topic here, but this was only in Florida. So the guy calls his girlfriend. The reason they put all two and two together because he was missing for like days. The guy calls his girlfriend and said, I'm going to go rob houses tonight with my buddy. And then the police showed up and they chased him and he jumped into the lake and they never did find him until days later. But yeah, he told his girlfriend, I'm going to rob houses tonight. And that was the last time.
What I thought was pretty harsh about the whole thing is the comments section underneath that.
Oh my God, that must have been interesting.
People like, oh my God, karma got that guy. I'm like, okay. Like, I get it. Karma is...
My guess is he was a Yankee because anybody who's lived in Florida for any period of time knows you don't hop in the pond to anywhere in Florida to hide from the cops.
No,
not a good idea. Take your chance with the cops.
And my stepdaddy always told me that what you do when you want to get in a pond is you got to shine a flashlight along the top of it first because that's when you see the eyes. God. Oh, you live there. Oh, crazy. But
Welcome
people like, karma
Florida.
Got that guy. I'm like, he didn't kill somebody. He robbed somebody and then was eaten by an alligator. Like, you got to have really, really bad karma.
Yeah, he's been
like,
robbing people for a long time.
You've been doing a long time. Woo! Okay. Where were we? I don't even remember. Okay. The gator trailer. How do we get off on that? It's Friday. Thank God. Uta sent in the next one. Oh, this is a good one. 15-year-old gray half horse. Oh, it's a half horse mare for $900. A half horse. This nice looking mare with papers has been used for riding. For questions, you can text or call me between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. anytime.
I want to know, do I get the front or the back?
What half?
If you get a half, I want to know which half.
There you go.
I think it's
short
important.
And sweet. Very odd.
Kathleen O'Grady sent this one in. A quarter horse for sale, $2,200 in Sarasota. Wendy must have sent this one in. Kathleen lives right next to Wendy, I think. Male quarter horse, 6 years old, trained, raised on a farm with other horses. This is a horse to ride, $2,200. Aren't you glad to know it was raised on a farm with other horses?
Hon. So basically, I know it's a male and it's trained.
And it's
like,
trained.
That's it. A badass.
That's all you know. That's all you know. English, Western, nothing. But it was trained or it was raised on a farm with other horses, which what
and
stuck
this
out to me.
It's a horse to ride as opposed to a horse to eat.
Considering where this ad is at, you have to specify.
That's true.
Oh,
it is Florida.
Oh, God, that is that place, isn't it? Oh. Okay, Gemma sent in the next one.
We are on a roll today.
Free gelding and little filly for sale. Free gelding and little filly for sale. Scammers need not apply. He is not for dog food. All right. Horses are cheap and require a lot of, horses are not cheap and require a lot of care and maintenance with shoeing and yearly vaccinations and deworming, just so you know. I have a couple of cuties for sale and one free to a good home, 20-year-old Bay Arab / Mustang gelding. Tango has one eye and has foundered, very sound now. He has been a great horse and could be a great companion horse to one to pony the grandkids around on. We also have a cute filly paint that can be registered. She is 1 year old and has one blue eye. I suppose the other one just has one eye. She has one blue eye.
Got it.
I am looking for a younger horse that can handle the mountain riding that I like to do. Looking for something not blind or not having laminitis. $1,000 or best offer.
Has this person been burnt before?
I bought this horse, has one eye and has laminitis, and you can have it, but I want something that's not.
Yeah, I want one that's not blind and doesn't have laminitis. You take that one. I'll take the good one. Thank you very much. You know, the only redeeming thing about that ad is they want to ride in the mountains, which means it's not Florida. That's the only thing.
Yeah. There is a cute filly paint. I've always wanted a little filly paint.
And scammers need not apply. This is not for dog food. Gemma, good one. Paige sent this one in. Dark Bay Mares reduced $2,000 Lower Valley. Four-year-old gentle mares. Been pushing cattle up pens at feedlot and tracing out of the head box. Real cowie, smart and athletic. 100% sound and broke ass. Yes, that's what it says with dollar signs. 100% sound and broke ass. The only part in this horse that's broke is its ass, apparently. No bad habits, gentle for any level rider. She has no papers, so don't ask. Because I sold those with the other horse.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. I love how the funny part is listening to you say, been pushing cattle up pins at the feedlot and tracing out the head box.
I almost sounded like I knew what I was talking about. I had no idea what I read there. It's like,
hi.
Yeah, I didn't know what a head box is.
Now, I was going to read, darn it, Lucas just walked in, and I was going to read the next one as written.
Oh, yes. I actually, it was written that way. I sort of made it all symbols.
Oh, you did that?
Yes, I did that. It was written with that particular swear word, and
what do you think?
Well, I don't think you want to read it.
We have lots of alternative words we can put in.
Yes.
Okay, what alternative word would you like me to use?
Let's just
there's
say
nothing funnier than that word.
I know. Well, let's just say that the word started with an S and ended with a T, and we'll just use the word crap. Can you use the word crap around Lucas?
Okay. I can use it. Daddy can take him out of the room. I mean, I'm like, but you're right. I mean, did you hear that exercise rider use the word?
No, yeah. I didn't even hear it.
Oh, yeah. She dropped that S-bomb.
Well, I guess I've done it. Why not?
I know. Exactly. I will clean your horse stalls or cow barn. And this is Robin sent this one in.
Must be Texas.
I will clean your horse stalls or cow barn in exchange for the manure I clean up.
Sold. Come on over.
Exactly. Here you go. Come on.
Here's the equity flexing fork. Have fun.
I know it's a crappy job, so I will clean crap up and shovel that crap right into my truck bed. I'm not full of crap either. I'll show up at the agreed time, do the dirty work, and haul that crap right up to my farm, where it'll make nice compost for next spring. I'm serious as crap.
It was killing you, wasn't it?
Oh, God. I wanted to say it so bad.
It was killing you.
I know. I have a 2-year-old here, and we are going to not use that S word because the last time I used the S word, I got cut off by a driver, and I was like, oh. And I said the S word, and then he repeated it all the way in the car to the Air Force luncheon that I was going.
And anybody that was curious about what she said at the beginning of the show about Mama, just listen in.
Hey, do you want to hear? Do you want to say hi to Glenn? Say hi, Glenn.
Hi, Lucas.
Talk to the microphone.
Uh-oh.
Man down. Who's that?
Hi, Lucas.
Here, Glenn said hi. Say hi,
hi Lucas.
Hi, Lucas. Ouch.
Ouch. Did you drop him on his head?
Say hi, Glenn.
Hi, Lucas. Oh, he's not
killing
talking.
Smalls.
He doesn't. I mean, he doesn't talk on command. Talk. Yet, does he?
No, he's not talking. The only thing he's saying,
you know,
is "Mama."
If I ignore him for 5 seconds, he'll start screaming "Mama." So that's exciting.
We got to pick a winner. Jennifer, did you have a favorite?
Oh, did I have a favorite?
I'm a you can go sit. Let's go sit over here.
I kind of like Jindal's the quarter horse, easy to load, but not tying.
I don't know. We got a lot of mileage out of the Gator trailer.
Oh, yeah, we did, actually. Yeah, we did actually get a lot of mileage out of the Gator trailer.
Let's go with the Gator trailer.
All right. Let's go with Beth.
It was inspirational.
Beth Shelley wins that one. A lot of mileage out of the Gator trailer. So that's the one that wins this particular Really Bad Ads. Should we mention the calendar, too? There is a calendar of Really Bad Ads that one of our lovely listeners, Robin, put together. She put together Really Bad Ads from the year. There's two for every month, and this is a 2016 calendar. You can buy it as a gift or buy it for your own office or your own house. And Jennifer will post a link to it again in our show notes on Horses in the Morning, because I think the link's too long. But they're like $20. Go out. She put a lot of work into getting this together. So help support Robin. And
Chad walked out. He's getting one in his stocking for Christmas.
Oh, is he? Did you get?
Yeah.
Oh, they're cool, aren't they?
Yeah, they're really, they look really, really good. I mean, obviously,
I love the
rust
background she used. Yeah. That's perfect.
It looks really, really good. And the ad is in there with the text of the ad, too. So it's not just a picture of a trailer. It's like, hey, y'all, here's a Gator trailer for sale. Right. Like, it says the ad. So you got to look at it. It's very funny. And so I guess what we can do is, Jen, I don't know if you can or not, but can you post that link in our Horses in the Morning Facebook page so people can log on there? Yeah, easy. Make it easy.
Sounds good. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us this week. We really appreciate it. Jamie has to head off now, and we'll be back here on Monday. So have a terrific weekend. Don't forget, the easiest way to listen to our shows is through our app. You can do that, iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network in the App Store. It's free, so you don't have to worry about that either. One other thing, programming note for the shows this week is this was the annual. We got together last night. Actually had a great time. It was the annual Stable Scoop versus Dressage Trivia Contest that we've been doing every year with Coach Jen playing Alex Trebek. And you're going to see who wins this year. Just take a listen. It'll be coming out a little later today.
I have a feeling who wins because you sound a little sassy.
Well, yeah, you never know who won. It was we did have a good time, like we always do, getting together with Reese and Phillip.
You lost. Okay, you lost. So we had a good time.
We did have a good time, and you can find it on Stable Scoop or Dressage Feed coming out in about 2 hours today. So,
and when does the wonderful episode of Debbie Laux, the Horsemanship Radio, come out? Because somebody might be on it.
Oh, that comes out on the 15th. So coming up next week, the next Horsemanship. Are you on it?
I might be on it. Yes. Yes. And I did talk about how I was going to, I think, teaser alert, I said something about, because Lucas was in his fit kind of when she called me, and I said, you know, Monty knows everything. We're doing a segment now about Ask Monty. And I was like, can I ask Monty how to get a 2-year-old to stop freaking crying for 2 hours before a nap? She's like, he probably would know. We had 47 foster kids. And I said, you know what, then? I need to call your mama. Call Pat. She's going to be the one who knows how to shut up a 2-year-old.
Funny. All right, everybody. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Spay, neuter, geld. Thanks for the nice note, Haley. Everybody, see you next time.